This morning, Tuesday, October 19th, 1967, I am speaking with Mr. Gerald Miller, who is the secretary of Westport's Land Trust. Mr. Miller has lived for years in Washington, D.C., and Rome, Italy, and many other places which I'm not sure about. Perhaps he will tell us later. He lives in a small Westport gray shingled house which faces on one of the nicest areas of the West Branch of our river. Although he was not born here and has been at home in so many places in the world, he has chosen to make Westport his permanent home and love. For this reason, he works very hard to make a contribution to our town. May I call you Jerry?
Yes, indeed.
And will you call me Mary?
I don't mind.
I'm going to tape Mr. Miller about his contribution as Secretary of the Land Trust and about the Land Trust here in Westport, which I didn't know until recently seems to be a controversial matter with some people. And I have, we may not get into the controversy, but I have the most recent newsletter here, which gives me an opportunity to ask some questions and make some statements. Mary Ellen Seeley, by accident, has been vice president, has become, because who was your president?
Sanford Moss.
Sanford Moss had a heart attack, and everyone knows Sanford Moss and feels very sorry about that. But Mary Ellen will be a good substitute.
She certainly will.
And will you just begin telling a little bit how you became interested in the Land Trust?
Well, I think in a general way, it's because of my general interest in ecology as a whole, and I've read a great deal about the various activities by the Natural Conservancy, by the Sierra Club, by Audubon Society, and many others. There are many land trusts along the eastern seaboard, many in Massachusetts, many in Connecticut, some in Rhode Island. And the general purpose, of course, is to preserve open space. And I think our whole population at large has suddenly come to the realization that if we're going to have a beautiful future, we've got to take steps to preserve some of our natural resources in terms of trees and woodlands and swamps and marshes and property of that sort. So when I came to Westport Point permanently, which was 1971, having bought my house in 1961 in anticipation of retirement, I...
That's an interesting thing. You did what we did, thinking, looking ahead.
Oh, yes. And matter of fact, during those years, we were lucky enough to be able to rent it most of the time and have it available for vacation.
That's lovely.
And recreation for the family. But I inquired here and found that the Conservation Commission had been active and had acquired some property for the general benefit of the town, but there had been no private effort along these lines. I might just go on and say how the private effort differentiates from the so-called public effort, but either by the state or the town, as the case may be. If property is acquired by the state or the town, it must be open entirely to the public. Whereas the land trust can accept land with restrictions as to access by the public. In other words, some people are willing to give land, but since they may be occupying part of it or maybe occupying adjoining land, they don't want to give it under terms that the public will have full access to it. And in this way, the land Land Trust, which is a private charitable organization, can serve to fill in that gap.
That certainly makes it one of the advantages of the a great advantage of the Land Trust,
yes,
doesn't
indeed.
It?
Yes, indeed. And a little later on, I guess we'll probably be discussing conservation restrictions,
mm-hmm.
and it fulfills a purpose in that regard, which the town can't fulfill at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, finding that I had a very close friend in Guilford, Connecticut, who told me about their efforts there to form a land trust. So when I came here and found that this in this town there had been no efforts along these lines, although considerable discussion had taken place, I asked several men to meet at my house in early 1972. We discussed the problem and put up a small amount of money, and with the help of Richard Carey Paul, organized the Westport Land Conservation Trust Incorporated, a charitable organization under Massachusetts law. The group of men who were active in bringing the trust into being were Stephen Delano, Robert Grinley, and Gordon Guptill, Theodore Moore Jr., Lorman Truebud, and Levon Yakubian, and myself. We received our articles of incorporation on April 26, 1972, and on September 18th, we received a letter from the Internal Revenue Service qualifying gifts to the trust as tax deductible for income tax purposes.
Jerry, how is the trust run?
Well, Mary, it's really run by the members, much as the same, much as a corporation is run by its stockholders. We, at the end of May last year, which was the end of our fiscal year, we had 215 families who were members of the trust. And at the annual meeting, they elect a board of directors. And in turn, those directors elect the officers. So ultimately, the officers are responsible through the directors to the members of the trust.
Would you like to see, I was thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if you had, instead of 215 members, 3,015 or 4,015, or wouldn't you want it to really be a large group?
Well, I think naturally, if it were very large, it would be an indication of wider public acceptance and wider knowledge of the trust. At the same time, from the point of view of functioning, we have sufficient numbers now to carry on very well. I mean, in terms of the annual dues that they contribute, which are a modest amount of $5 per family or $25 for a sustaining member, we've accumulated about $5,000, which we think is a sufficient fund to ensure us against unanticipated expenses. For instance, we might have to do something with land that we'd accepted that we did not anticipate due to disaster or something of that
mm-hmm.
sort, cleaning out, clearing out.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel that we have to have a substantial sum in the bank as a guard against.
You think
that
sum is substantial enough? What I was thinking of was, what if there was land that you really wanted? If you had a larger membership and you had more money, would that, I mean, couldn't there be some way by which there would be elected from this larger group a smaller committee to organize?
Well, the board of directors, of course, would serve as that smaller
mm-hmm.
committee you
mm-hmm.
speak about. If we had lots of money, yes, we'd like lots of money, because then we could purchase land. There's
that's what I was thinking. That
nothing in our charter that prohibits that.
No.
But for the time being, under present circumstances, we don't feel a great impulsion to purchase land because while Westport is developing, it's not developing terribly fast, and we don't have to take extreme measures to preserve open space. We would rather just have people in the course of time make their gifts and of land outright and land under conservation restriction.
That brings me to the next question, which I was going to ask later, but which is seeming to come up now.
Yes.
Do you need more money for education of the community so that people who had land there is much open space here in Westport.
Yes.
And if everyone knew about what you were doing, I think you might get many more gifts than you get.
Well, I think that's entirely possible, but at the same time, we are gradually broadening our publicity effort and trying to acquaint people with the fact that the trust is there. But at the same time, we're just one sort of cog in the wheel. There is the state and the town which can accept land, particularly for what we call high density recreational interests. That is, examples. Well, the examples would be Horseneck Beach, the examples would be Lord Demarest State Park, where the public comes in droves for a specific recreational purpose. As far as we're concerned, we'll always operate on low density, what we call low density recreational purpose, that is, hikes, bird walks, just a quiet place.
Bicycle ventures, trips,
sure.
And things like that.
Yes.
One of the things that made me wonder about money, I think this green belt idea of the land trusts preserving the green belt along 88. When 88 was put in, it made so many of us heartsick to think that this highway was going right through the middle of the town and really almost seemingly splitting it in two. Now, it is protected in that no one can have access to it for building, but there are crossroads here and there which can be built, be developed. I'm thinking of Hicks Bridge Road.
Yes.
And then from those crossroads into, and I know something's happening that I don't know what it is, but something's happening up here on Hicks Bridge Road, and something is going to come off Hicks Bridge Road down into the middle of this land, which is south of Hicks Bridge Road. In other words, the area right along 88 is protected, but the areas behind it aren't.
Yes.
And that's why I wondered about money.
I'm not familiar with the example you give, but...
Well, if we took a trip up here, we could see, you know, Hicks Bridge Road that goes across to the bridge. Well, there's already an ice cream stand on the corner, and just across from the cemetery is a path which we used to walk through when we were younger. We'd walk from our house up to Hicks Bridge Road, through this path, through the woods, and it's quite a path, really. And people now, young people, come and use it for parking at night and so on. And this is owned by a private individual, and it would make an ideal, because it looks out over a perfectly beautiful ravine. the land back in there is marvelous. The well, there's a 60-foot female holly tree, which is so, it's out of this, I've never seen anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
And people at one time used to come and take, we own that holly tree, by the way, and people, we were so sick when we found huge branches taken off for sale in New Bedford or something like that. It's such a big tree that a branch as large, 20 feet long or 30 feet long and 8 feet in diameter could be taken.
8 inches.
8 inches. I've made a mistake there, and I also want to say that it is not 1967, it's 1976. So there, this is one of the questions I had, was this money business.
Well, of course, that's all for the future, Mary. I mean, let me just to give you another slant on the situation. Here in Westport, as you know, this land assessment is so very low that there's very little impetus for people to rid themselves of surplus land. In other words, the tax rate on vacant land is very, very low indeed. Now, if, as under the state law, the town of Westport ever assesses on the basis of 100% valuation, many of these bits and pieces of land, many of which have been cut up by inheritance through families or by the interposition of the highway itself, many of these bits and pieces, people will suddenly realize that they've got a piece of land on their hands which they can't use, maybe nobody else can use, that ought to be dedicated as open space for the public benefit.
Mm-hmm.
In that instance, I think our whole the whole possibility of obtaining gifts will increase, and we're just biding our time.
Yes. Now I have this newsletter here. This is newsletter number 5. It's a newsletter, Westport Land Conservation Trust Incorporated, Fall 1976. It's a beautiful newsletter.
Yes.
And it's a
Mrs. Seeley puts that together,
and she labors over it, I know, because I happened to be at her house one day when she was pushing her hands through her hair and struggling and saying, this is the most difficult thing I do.
Mm-hmm.
How many, this is number 5. What other kinds of, how many people, what I wanted to know is, how many people received this?
Well, this goes to all the membership, and we also send copies, of course, to all the village officials and some of the school teachers. We send it to the newspapers,
mm-hmm.
and then when any particular gift comes along, we try to make a special effort to put the news of that gift in the paper.
The Katzenbach gift, which allowed Ted Mead to make those perfectly beautiful photographs, which were shown at the bicentennial this summer, they're such marvelous publicity for you.
Yes, indeed.
Aren't they?
Yes, that was a very special instance, though. When Mr. Katzenbach died, the family decided that memorial gifts would be given to the trust,
mm-hmm.
and this is the only instance we've had of this kind, and it was further stipulated that the money be used for some effective memorial to Mr. Katzenbach. In the course of our discussion, we determined that these pictures would be an appropriate memorial.
And they're in the schools. They rotate from library to school to school.
Yes, indeed.
And I mean, I think it helps young people begin to know how beautiful, because they're such beautiful pictures.
Yes, indeed.
That it helps young people begin to appreciate
mm-hmm.
the place that they've been throwing beer cans
yes.
on and so on.
One just a little footnote I might add that publicity is not necessarily a function of money. I mean, in our case, it's, I would say if we had more volunteers who would be willing to go to schools and address various gatherings about the land trust, we would be probably be more effective than an additional amount of X dollars.
How do you see, can you, have you had any thoughts, I'm sure you must have, about how you would get these people to go and do this, I mean, go to the schools and so on?
Well, we've asked the membership to volunteer, but not many come forward.
What about the women's club and the churches?
Well, that's a good idea. That's something well worth following up. Bonnie Seeley has been sort of a one-man show as far
I know,
as
she's worked like a beaver.
Yes.
Doing it.
Yes.
The I know the photographs, the Katzenbach gift to the Land Trust was large enough to make large, really large, beautiful pictures.
Yes.
Which Ted Theodore Mead, a wonderful photographer here in Westport, took. And some, at least one that I know of, was seen. And the person who saw it was a young man who had grown up here in Westport, no longer lives here. He's in law school at Yale. And he wanted to give his parents a picture. It was of their lane, and he wanted to give his parents a picture of, a copy of, of the Katzenbach picture. And I called Mr. Mead, and he said that would be impossible because Mr. Shannon had had such a hard time convincing the people who made the prints, make them as large as they were for it, as little as they did, and this young man could not possibly have one made for his family, but he could get one which was quite a nice size. It ends up being something like 34 or something matted and so on. And Mr. Mead, with his equipment, can do it. And so his he's going to give it to his parents for a Christmas present, and it's not costing more than $50. Mm-hmm. And it is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And so I just wondered about, since he envisioned that, whether some way of letting people know that a perfectly, it doesn't need to be for, most homes couldn't accommodate that size picture, but that some of these could be in the homes of Westport and made by Mr. Mead with his equipment for anywhere from $25 to $50 depending on size.
Yes. Well, that's a good idea. As a matter of fact, we might, in putting these pictures around, put a little sign underneath, say copies of these pictures can be had by addressing an inquiry to the Secretary of the Trust.
Mm-hmm. That's, they'd be especially interesting to the public because so many of them are of the landmarks they know and love so well anyway.
Yes, indeed.
And, I'd like to know how you differ. You spoke of the Connecticut Land Conservation Trusts and the others in Massachusetts, and your meeting on those the differences, the reports, hearing reports from the Connecticut New Canaan one and all. How do we differ?
Well, actually, we really don't differ from in Massachusetts from any of the other trusts at all, because it's all stipulated under the Act for Charitable Corporations and the Act for the Establishment of Conservation Restrictions, which is Chapter 666 of the Massachusetts Act of 1969.
I see. And so even, what about Connecticut?
Pretty much in the same pattern. The state laws may vary a little, but I mean, the pattern of the, and the modus operandi is almost exactly the same. So it's a private corporation run by private individuals and is in effect a public trust. And
I was at the Kennisons last evening, and they have just come back from a trip in which they went to Kansas, Missouri, Mississippi, where is New Orleans? I can't think of the most.
That's Louisiana.
Louisiana and Tennessee, and they started out, they flew to Kansas and they drove all the west of the way, and then
plains, they went to the plain states first and then through the deep south.
And I wondered whether you knew very much about what was being done in the Middle West and Far West in this land trust
area. Well, I don't know very much specifically. I know that move for open space along the Pacific coast is very strong and growing. It just so happens, how they got our name I don't know, but some people in the state of Washington have been in touch with us, and we've sent them a lot of information about what we did here to organize our trust, and gave them a copy of our bylaws and our charter, and a copy of the letter which we received from the Internal Revenue Service. So we've had that little direct connection with this group in the state of Washington. But beyond that, I don't know much specifically. Of course, you know, the Sierra Club is largely oriented toward the western states.
Yes, and the Sierra Club, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the most wonderful things that ever happened in this country.
Yes. Well, I might say, I might just add this, that people like the Sierra Club, the Conservancy Foundation, and Audubon are interested in big chunks of land because they don't have the local representation to handle the small bits, such as our trust does.
No. I mean, after all, if you're in Texas, you're not. I picked up the Smithsonian here because there is a piece on preservation. This is this month's Smithsonian, which just came yesterday, and there is a piece on the preservation of land for open space.
I think Bonnie would be interested in that. I send her clippings all the time for her next bulletin.
Now, this is the fifth. How often do that you try to have them come out?
Oh, about three times a year.
Mm-hmm.
Something of that nature. Mm-hmm. We don't have an exact schedule, but we try to.
And you don't think that having a larger mailing list would be desirable? It's so good. It's so fascinating.
It might be, but we have to look at the question of costs of mailing and so on, which is a very expensive proposition these days.
And that's why I was asking about more members.
Yeah.
In each tape recording I make, I try to raise the question, you've come here to retire, you bought your property a good many years before your retirement,
yes,
and you enjoyed it as a recreational place. If you could make any changes other than the changes you're making through the Land Conservation Trust in the town, and did I prepare you for this or not? I hope I did last night when we talked. Is there anything you'd like to see changed about Westport?
Well, that's a very broad question. And
I know it is.
Frankly, you didn't tell me last
night. I didn't.
Night, so
I'm sorry.
This
comes up. It comes right too fresh at you.
Catches me cold.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I can answer that a little later. But
yes,
I
you have it in the back of your mind. I have a story to tell you, a little story,
mm-hmm,
about a man I know who was born here in Westport, who grew up here in Westport, who has worked very hard. He loves it. He goes to the woods and sits. He listens to the, he knows all the bird calls. He He knows every little stream and brook that wanders through every property, because he was a nature lover from the time he was a child.
Sure.
And interestingly enough, I see him quite often and have discussions with him, which I hope that do not irritate him, but about what I consider the values of the land trust. He is negative about them. Now, he's not negative as some others who may be richer. He's not what, he's quite poor. He's always been poor. And he thinks of the land trust as being a group of people who recently come with money, doing something that may actually hamper his freedom. To go into a woods and listen to the bird calls that he loves and watch, follow the streams, and I haven't been able to convince him that it isn't. That what just what he wants is what you're trying to do.
Well, to begin with, just as a general statement, if he likes to go in the woods and listen to the birds and look at the streams and so on, he's got to make sure they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that we're trying to do. I mean, we're thinking in the long future ahead, because there's no question about it that Westport has a lot of land that has not been developed, and there's bound to be impetus for it to be developed. And when development comes, open space is generally prejudiced. I don't know, as an example, I don't think it'll ever happen here, but as an example, look at what has happened at Long Island in the last 30 years. Beautiful lands, woods, trees, brooks, and farms have just been leveled and filled with little boxes and covered with cement.
I know.
And as I say, I don't think we have that sort of a threat here, but there is a potential threat of development creeping in to the point that much of our open space will disappear. And we hope to prevent that not only by acquiring a piece of land, but by educating the community generally on the advantages of keeping our environment reasonably open.
And you can't acquire it. Well, the thing I think I was trying to get at earlier is the acquiring will not happen unless the education happens first.
Well, that's certainly part of the question. Now, I know some people feel that if the trust acquires land, then those taxes become a burden on the town as a whole, because if we acquire land outright, of course, all taxes are forgiven. Well, this is really not very much of a question now, because, again, coming back to what I said before, tax rates on vacant land in Westport are so low that when if we acquire a few acres of land, that may involve $100 in taxes. And that is no burden at all to be worried about. But even if the situation changed, and I submit that the preservation of open space is a benefit to the town, and it's a benefit that the town can pay a modest amount for. Now, it seems to me that it can be proven that land, a given parcel of land given to the trust, if developed, which is one of the alternatives, and the one on which is, I think, the one that we must be well aware of, If developed, that would increase taxes for the community by an amount a good deal larger than the amount removed from the tax rolls because of the conservation restriction or the gift.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the increase of taxes when a piece of land is developed is brought about by the need for increased police protection, fire protection, street maintenance, and particularly, and I emphasize particularly, by increased need for school facilities and instruction.
Isn't the school budget the largest part of our tax?
Yes, and it keeps growing, and at a almost a geometric rate in relation to the population.
You see, I don't think this man has, his children are all grown, as he's looking back to his childhood,
yes,
and the and no restrictions. He mentioned the fact that some of his neighbors, and I don't think he has his facts straight. That's why I think he needs
sure.
to be. He said, "You can't, why, Mrs. Giles, you couldn't go out and cut a tree down on your property now," which I did last week because it was dead, because this of this land trust. Well,
that's foolish.
Well, you see, this things are misinformation is spreading.
Of course. Well.
How can you combat
you know,
that?
Well, you know, I think, if I may say so, maybe the man of whom you speak is living a bit in the past. In other words, if Westport, if we could say at a given moment of time, everything is going to be frozen.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be no more housing developments. Open space will stay as it is and so on, you'd have a perfectly good case.
Yes.
But, I mean, if you look at the long-range future and look at what's happened to the Western Seaboard in terms of development, there is a potential threat, no doubt about it, that we're going to be deficient in open space if we don't think about it and plan for it in advance.
Yes. You see, these tapes are not being made for 50 years from now, they're going to be transcribed. There would need to be no transcription because tapes don't last 100 years.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they will be retranscribed and that 500 years from now, if West, that they will be available to the citizens of Westport.
Let me just repeat one thing I said before. I mean, we're talking about the land trust, and I don't mean to minimize it, but nevertheless, it is just a small cog in the wheel. I mean, the preservation of our environment has to be done by the United States, by the state, by the town, and what little bit we can do is not going to make the difference.
No.
But we certainly can play a part in the whole picture.
Well, even just making my Christmas cards every year be birds, ever since we moved here, I've just tried to make a bird
sure.
that was here in my backyard.